Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Boy, crisp
cleaning
morning and things zip by. We early in the day acknowledged what a lovely evening it was. I talked about the broadcaster and Turf Rider dinner, and I didn't mention that you were a spot reporting winner.
Yes, no, that was a pleasant surprise. It was the it's an award named for Joe Hirsch, who you know, many of us were lucky enough to work with and whom he mentored, and they give out two awards. One's for deadline writing, like a race recap,
yeah,
and that's what I won for. And then they also have a feature writing award as well. John Sherman from the LA Times won that one, so it was a fun evening.
Well, I got to congratulate all you guys. That I've now that when I hear the names pop up that win, and you guys are deserving as I've seen you through the years. But I want to make a special say congratulations to Caton for her win.
Yes,
as you know,
Jim McKay Award,
the Jim McKay Award, and because I mean I've known Caton for a long time, and she kind of started the old paddock deal in the paddock at Gulfstream Park back in the early '90s. With Doug Don, he decided let's put someone in the paddock, and she started right in, and you know, working around horses, just the gallop horses. And I tell you what, she was so informative from day one, set the tone, and I think after that, everyone said, hey, we got to get someone like her and try and tell the people in between races, and really a pioneer in the inner track, you know, telling people what's going on in between races. As we remember, there was nothing. And with the advent, of course, with the signal going around,
yeah,
more simulcasting, her and Barbara Foster, actually, Imamas, was one of the early ones. And they were wonderful and a pleasant voice and knowledgeable. And, you know, to this day, she's just wonderful. So I really very well deserving, along with everybody. But it's great to see.
Jay, here we are. And this has been a very productive visit annually. Not that every year, you know, you can't deliver 15, 17 to one shots annually, but we can try.
We can try.
We can try. I'm anxious for you to touch on some of your final thoughts.
What? Just ask me away, Steve.
Start with your categories. You've got the Juvenile Fillies, of course, on Friday that you've been covering. Where'd you land?
I ended up going with British Idiom in that race. I liked her race at Keeneland, and I just think the pace sets up for her. I just think there's going to be a pretty hot pace in this race. You've got Donna Veloce down on the inside coming out of a one race, and it was a sprint, so she's going to go. Wicked Whisper obviously has good early speed. You know, 260 will lay close. I just think the race sets up for a horse that can sit just off the pace and finish, and British Idiom is that horse. So I like her best. I'm against Bast. I thought she really struggled to go two turns last time. Her Del Mar debutante was very impressive, but I thought it was kind of dressed up. She got a perfect trip that day. So I'm going to try and beat her. I like British Idiom.
The Classic course on Saturday. How long has the Classic been your responsibility?
I went to work for the Forum in 98, so I guess since the 98 Breeders' Cup.
How about that? There you go.
I thought you were talking about this year's thing. I'm going, boy, he's been dreaming about this race for a long time.
No, because sometimes, you know, sometimes you start with other assignments and you end up, something heads, you know, in your direction. So right from the get-go, Jay started at the top. This is a fun addition. I've heard so many fascinating angles that people are latching on to. Final thoughts.
So I ended up going with Higher Power. I think he's going to get a little bit overlooked in the betting. I thought he had a legitimate excuse last time in the Awesome again. He was drawn inside. He didn't break. And you just couldn't make up any ground that day at Santa Anita. He's going back out now to a mile and a quarter, which was his best race. Now, granted, the field that he beat in the Pacific Classic wasn't as good as what he's going to run against on Saturday. But to me, the price is worth taking the chance with him. The other horses that I like in the race, I picked Vino Rosso second. I just think he's coming up to a corker. He's just a much better horse now than he was a year ago, and he's looked fantastic since he's gotten here. You know, I give McKenzie a chance, but I'm still not convinced he wants to run a mile and a quarter. And then, obviously, Code of Honor is in terrific form right now. But I think, you know, of those three, Higher Power is going to be the best price. And I think he's as good as them on his day at a mile and a quarter, and he's at his home track. So I'm going to gamble on him.
My early take on this, believe it or not, is I'm hoping to be alive to the all button going into this. And I'm saying this truthfully right now as I go into it. So I'm going to be playing a lot of this last gimmick, so they'll pick fours and pick fives. And because only reason I've started to narrow down my single as of now is Bricks and Mortar. I finally came to that conclusion in the race before. And I'm hoping
Hang on,
to
I've got an extra napkin so you can wipe the shock off your face.
Don't worry about it. Because I'm going to play, and I said earlier, I'm going to play, you know, a couple of these big ones. When I play, I like to play to hit. And I'm telling you, I'd really like to be alive to the all button in the last. And, of course, I can zero down to a few. But I tell you, if they ran this race 10 times, you might have six different winners. It's just one of those races. And,
right.
You know, I totally agree with everything that Jay has said and just about what others have said. But it's wide open to me. I right now. We'll narrow down a little bit more tomorrow in this. But I'd love to be alive to the all button here.
And what you said, actually, Rick, and it came up earlier with Brad Free, Jay. Jay, what do you expect from the track, and what clues do you suggest people take from the racing today and into tomorrow about, you know, how the inside is and, you know, those kinds of questions that are tricky?
They're very tricky. I would go to school on how the track plays today, but be cognizant that it might be different tomorrow.
Fair enough. And,
you know, spin the big prize wheel.
Well, and, all right, we have a couple of spots here and there that we can jump around, horses that have caught your eye as you've looked at the PPs, and who you know you're betting on.
Well, the other race that I'm covering, Steve.
Okay, I didn't realize you were at a third.
Well, maybe you should read the form.
Is
the Dirt Mile, and that's Omaha Beach is obviously the horse to beat in that one. I picked Mr. Money second. I just think this is a really talented horse who circumstances got in the way from last time when he ended up on the lead, where I don't think he wants to be on the lead. And I think if you end up on the lead with him, you want to let him run and not throttle him down. He's kind of a free-running horse. I don't know if you saw him out on the track this morning, but he's got plenty of energy. You don't want to get in his way. You know, Improbable is, you know, has trained very well, but he's got gait issues, and he's using a rider for the first time that's not exactly known as the P-Val of, you know, 2019. So that's just a curious choice. So I'm going to try and beat him. The one horse here in Steve that I completely dismissed in looking at the dope, but who's caught my eye training here all week, is Blue Chipper. The horse is trained as well as anybody, and so I threw him in for fourth, and I'll use him in gimmicks. I mean, obviously Omaha Beach is the horse is the horse to beat, and he's going to be a pretty short price. But Mr. Money to me is the next best horse. I have great respect for Improbable, but I think he's got a couple of potential things against him. And then Blue Chipper to me is sort of the bomber.
Certainly has impressed, and I heard the comment from Flavian Pratt that fitness wise, anybody should be concerned. You have people talking about horses shipping in on top of the race, not getting too much chance to work out over and gallop over the surface. Flavian Pratt got off of him after a 2 mile jog, a gallop, and just raved. He said the horse wasn't breathing. He said it got over the track beautifully. So fitness won't be a question. The race got intriguing and filled out. For a while, it looked like it might be a little bit more of a narrow field, and ended up with 10 in there. A couple of others, Jay?
Friday or Saturday, Steve?
Anywhere you want.
All right. Well, you always want me to come with a price play, so I'll give you the one that I am going to gamble on, my price play of the weekend, and that'll be in the Mile Grass Race. So that is my... that is my upset special. If I could just turn to the PPs, because I'm so discombobulated here right now. It's the horse that Tory's riding, and I'll explain to you. Hey, Gaiman. And here's my my thought on the horse. I think he wants really firm ground, which is what he's going to get obviously here. And I think his dope is kind of muddied up a little bit because his last two races were on soft ground and he didn't perform up to expectations. But his prior four races this year, all on good or firm ground, were all very good races. Dettori has ridden him three times previously this year and is getting back on him. And I think he might fall through the cracks owing to a couple of runs most recently that I don't think are representative of him owing to the ground. It's something I think as a handicapper you need to be very cognizant of is what the ground is like that they're going to be here. And that's one of the reasons, for instance, a couple of years ago that I liked Talismanic at Del Mar. I just thought he was going to really respond to not only firm ground, but that he also got a great draw that year too. So that's my my upset special of the weekend.
I like it. Yesterday with Gina Bryce and Nick Luck, Gina and they both, because I brought up this James Tate. You know, Tate's got the runner on Friday as well, and
dancing.
I wanted to, you know, to get a little bit of a
horse, right?
Dream shot. And I just wanted to, I didn't really know Tate's name, but they said he's a no-nonsense guy, and he wouldn't make this trip if he didn't have horses that could compete.
Well, yeah, I just think that Haygaemon really looks like a, that's my kind of horse. You know, horses got form that got a little muddied up and that people might overlook because of that, so hopefully he'll run back to his good firm ground races.
Jay, just from a doesn't have to be a play standpoint, but just an opinion standpoint about how the race unfolds and the results, both the classic and the distaff and the sprint. I'm just curious about your gut feels.
The distaff to me is that's the most likely winner of the whole weekend in my mind. I just don't think it's a very deep race, and obviously you've got a horse at the top at Midnight Bizu who's in excellent form, but I don't think the race is that strong underneath her. I picked Wildcat second. I think she's rounding back to her best form. She it took her a while to get there, but I think she's, you know, the next best horse in the race. I have a lot of respect for Blue Prize, but I think she's a lot better at Keeneland than anywhere else, and so I don't know that she's going to reproduce the same kind of race here. I don't see how Midnight Bizu loses. I just think if somebody said you've got to pick one horse
on the
who
weekend.
Will win the whole weekend, that
I like
that would be my, you know, my one that can't lose.
We talked several times, Jay, during the lead up about how intriguing the sprint was going to be. Well, now that we know where they're going to lead from, what do you expect when the bell rings?
To me, this is the best race of the weekend in terms of quality and depth. A lot of speed in the race. I like Chance a lot, slightly better than Matoli, but, you know, for a sequential wagers, I will be using both. I'm not going to get so cute as to pick one over the other. But I think both are training great. Both are world-class sprinters, and I think it's going to be a heck of a race to watch those two. And, you know, who knows? If they go too fast too soon, you've got, you know, world-class horses like Imperial Hint sitting right off of them, and you know, obviously on his best day, a horse like Catalina Cruiser or even Whitmore Firenze Fire can be running late. So it's a really good race. And this goes back to something you said earlier on, Steve, about going to school on the track. I mean, this is a race where if the track is favoring speed, or if the track is against speed, or if the track is no good on the inside or outside, this is the kind of race where it can really make a big difference.
Yeah.
You've really got to be cognizant of how the track's playing.
Let me ask you a quick question on the sprint, kind of. Catalina Cruiser, were you satisfied that he went here as opposed to the mile?
I think he was going to be in tough at either spot. But, you know, John Sadler said that he just thought his figs are better around one turn, and so that's why they cut back to that. And, you know, his true north was really good. He didn't have the best of trips, and he still got up and won that race earlier this year.
No, so. And I, you know what? That race kind of solidified this horse because, you know, John likes to run at home.
Right.
And he's done well and historically has not done as well outside of California. But the last 4 or 5 years he has. And the fact that he sent the horse out there and he ran so well. So, I mean, really, I think you said that solidified the choice, I think.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, either race was going to be a tough spot.
Yeah. I think this one is a little tougher than the mile.
Oh yeah.
Right?
That's why, yeah, no, there was like this notion from some people, He's ducking Omaha Beach. Yes, he's ducking Omaha Beach to run against Matoli and Chancelot
and Imperial Hand.
Yeah, it's,
no. Right. He's not a ducker. He did what he thought was better, yeah, for sure, by the horse. But I just wanted to see what your opinion on that was. Yeah.
Jay, finally, the road to the Derby technically has already begun, but officially with the juvenile, it really gets underway. This hits a couple of major early players, Dennis's moment and Eight Rings. We lost Maxfield sadly down the road. Scabbard, what are your thoughts?
I think if Dennis's moment runs to what he's capable of doing, he will win this race. I like him a lot more than Eight Rings. I thought Eight Rings obviously a very nice horse. I thought the track really helped him a lot last time. It was very speed favoring, and he's not going to have the same kind of. I don't think he's running against better horses, hopefully on a fairer racetrack this time. So I like Dennis's moment.
You latch on to anything in the two juvenile turf races by chance? I'm just curious. Big fields?
I like Clemence horse in the
Decorated Invader
in the juvenile turf race. In the Phillies race, I went with Pletcher, with Sweet Melania. So those were my top picks in those races.
She's a big thing. I saw her this morning. She's a big strapping filly.
Yep.
Jay Pribman, DRF Pribman on your Twitter, and a busy lead-up, of course, and looking forward to two clean, safe days of racing.
Yes, most importantly, exactly.
Thanks for everything. Jay will be here, of course. I'll be here Monday and Tuesday, and maybe we'll get a recap in. We'll get the recap like we
frequently do.
That'd
be great.
All
right. I'd be happy to do it. And it was really fun going to Musso the other night.
I can't thank you enough. It was one of the real memorable experiences for me in my Breeders' Cup travels. Jay Pribman, everybody.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Let's stay here. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes to wrap up. And we've got to have a rare opportunity, actually, to talk to Dr. Joe Pagan. And he's going to join us here momentarily and close out the morning. Hammer, you and Jimmy with handicapping tomorrow?
Oh yeah, Jimmy will be here. Jimmy's right.
in the breakfast tent,
which I need to go check it out as well. But we'll be here tomorrow, full blast.
Oh, he's over in the marquee.
In the marquee, yeah.
Okay,
it's more
okay
than a breakfast tent. They got all kinds of stuff in there.
There you go.
But glad to have Joe here.
Absolutely.
Nutritional update.
Well, it comes at an interesting time too, because the work that Dr. Pagan has pioneered, a lot of research, Kentucky Equine Research, and can we call you Doc or Joe, or what do you want to call
him? Fine.
All right, Joe, I appreciate it. You're going to start an EIPH study, and considering what transpired at with the Drug Council, you know, the Advisory Council to the KHRC this past week, basically, you know, saying that they are not going to recommend adopting, you know, these aggressive anti-Lasix policies in Kentucky. Doesn't mean that the KHRC won't enact them, but the Drug and Research Council is against it. Five veterinarians, five racetrack practitioners. Talk a little bit about your work and what you hope to accomplish with the EIPH study.
Okay, well, EIPH obviously is a huge problem of importance for thoroughbred horses, and everyone has I think in America leaned to a certain degree on using furosemide, which I think has some real efficacy, but I think we're doing that while ignoring some other potential things that we can do to help reduce the incidence of EIPH. So we're looking at nutritional solutions for EIPH, and we think that there's some real viable things that trainers can do if they recognize it's important and are willing to provide the nutrients that are necessary for a long enough time to change the physiology of the horse to reduce bleeding.
The chances for bleeding.
Sure.
Because, you know, the enormous percentage of horses that will bleed from, and for those that aren't aware, exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage is what EIPH stands for, bleeding from the lungs and the trachea. Your work essentially is in the line of not supplements so much as nutritional augmentation.
Right.
And you work with some of the biggest feed, the most, you know, most widely known feed companies in the country.
Right. We work with feed manufacturers all over the world to try to produce feeds for specific types of horses. We've been very fortunate to work with Hallway Feeds for the last 30 years, and they're the biggest and the best, really, in thoroughbred racing. So we've got a big stake in thoroughbred racing. I'm a thoroughbred racehorse owner myself and have dealt with the whole situation with Lasix. But we're now doing a study. We've purchased a training center in Ocala, Florida, where we keep 16 horses in race training that we use for nutritional research. And so we've just started a big project looking at supplementing omega-3 fats to see how it changes the respiratory system, the composition of red blood cells, and hopefully reduce the incidence of bleeding. And we work with thoroughbreds all over the world where they don't have furosemide. So it's an important situation to have some alternative means of reducing EIPH without using furosemide.
What's your opinion of the South African study?
It's a very interesting study, and I'm not anti-furosemide at all. I mean, I think that there is some efficacy for using that drug in reducing the incidence of EIPH. I think that's pretty clear. I think, though, that in other jurisdictions around the world, we do a lot in Hong Kong. That it's not allowed to use furosemide, so we need to look at other alternative means, and we should adapt that. Even if you're going to use furosemide in America, have something else to help in addition to that.
How do you plan, and in your current work, how are you able, if the facility is in Ocala, how can you duplicate the conditions of racetrack barns with horses that have hay, dusty and particulate filled air in enclosed spaces? How can you accurately assess the work and the potential for it to succeed, a change in diet or augmenting diet? Doesn't it have to be tested on the racetrack?
Well, the thing is, we're coming the closest as anyone of testing it on the racetrack, because our training facility is at Eclipse Training Center, where Nick Demerick does his two-year-old. So these are racehorses that are in training as opposed to on a treadmill. Most of the work that's been done has been with horses on a high-speed treadmill. We're doing our test post-breezing. So we're looking at how much red blood cells end up in BALs after, and in our case, 5 furlong breezes. Yeah, it's not racing, and it's not in every typical racing environment, but it's a lot closer to the real world than many of the studies up to now have been.
Well, and the stress, much like human stressors that can cause heart attacks and so forth, It's difficult. You don't know how the horses, for instance, horses that are basically stalled for 23 hours a day and what that does. I mean, a lot of this is the makeup of the, we talk about horses being individuals, and a lot of it is the mental makeup of the horse.
The other thing that's really important is that physiologically, when you get a horse at racing speed, if you're breezing that horse every week, it changes from horses at a university herd, for instance, that they're exercising regularly on treadmills. We see our horses, when we start to get them into full race training and breezing weekly, they change. Their physiology, their stress level changes, regardless of how good your management is, and it puts a big stress on their system physiologically. So we think it's important to study it under those conditions.
Now, I'm anxious to hear, as you draw conclusions, KER, there's a lot of, in addition to the feed supplement and the nutrient additives that go into things like the feeds, you've got a line of very interesting products, including some race recovery alternative medications, things that are like an alternate to giving a horse a jug, electrolyte replacement, things like that?
Correct. I mean, we're trying to develop products that answer problems in real-life situations. So trying to deal with supplementation for horses that are on furosemide. Again, furosemide's an interesting drug, and it has efficacy towards EIPH, but it affects how horses recover from exercise. So we've looked at it from that aspect. How do you get them to recover more quickly after having exercised on furosemide? And we've gotten some really interesting results in that area.
KER, Kentucky Equine Research, KER.com. And Dr. Joe Pagan, Carolyn Conley, we've known forever. And I'm anxious to hear more. And let us know what we communicate to horsemen and to horse players that I think appreciate hearing on the listening on these topics and learning, so they can make their own decisions. And without people, like you making the effort to solve and have a response to, what may be a changing landscape for horsemen, it's important. We got to have some answers, and I mean, horses are going to continue to bleed. That's with a certainty. And given how much investment owners and
breeders and everybody
put
involved
into this,
in the game,
we got to have a thing. We've got to have products that help the equine athlete, and especially if long term we're going to move away from Lasix. Dr. Joe Pagan, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. KER, Kentucky Equine Research, KER.com. Hammer, we'll be together tomorrow.
Bright and early, 6 o'clock.
I appreciate it. We appreciate Brad Free visit this morning, obviously. Haskin and Lenny, Dick Powell earlier this morning, racing this afternoon. We will be back with you tomorrow, 9 o'clock. HRRN coverage, 3 o'clock live today. For racing, and of course Aqueduct opens tomorrow. A bunch of other stakes around the country too to pay attention to.
Don't they have the Empire giveaway tomorrow?
Yes, they do.
Which is kind of odd on a Breeders' Cup day.
The way it came together.
Give you a lot of action tomorrow. But once again, watch the races today. Garner, if there's some comments, somebody sticks a mic in front of a jock or a trainer, listen to what they say about the track and tuck it away.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Deja on the board. We'll talk to you in the morning.